Now, Dan brought a story to my attention that got me thinking here, where we could jump off on this. The story is these rescuers reached these Russian meteorologists who were trapped by polar bears. This is a true story, and I'll read the story about these Russian meteorologists and the Russian meteorologists versus polar bears, and that got me to thinking that we should talk about the best man versus nature movies. Because that is a subgenre unto its own, and there are so many great ones and so many awful ones in that category that we can cover like every type of quality of movie just by talking about the great man versus nature movies and the terrible ones. 312-981-7200. I got a list here of a bunch of them that will jar some memories. I've got a few myself, and if you want to jump in with your thoughts, text or talk man versus nature movies, the best ones, the worst ones, the weirdest ones, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So here's the story. Five meteorologists who were trapped for 2 weeks after polar bears surrounded their weather station are now able to leave the building after the creatures were chased away. They had been holed up in their facility in the Izvestytsk Islands, which is about 2,800 miles from Moscow, after a dozen of the animals moved into the area. The meteorologists ran out of signal flares that they were using to scare away the bears, which had previously eaten their guard dog. God. Russian officials had feared the siege could last another month, the time it would take for a specially dispatched ship to reach the islands in the Kara Sea, high in the Arctic Circle. But on Tuesday night, a research vessel took a detour to assist the incarcerated weathermen, and the ship chartered by Russian's state-run oil firm Rosneft frightened away the bears using its helicopter before resupplying the weather station with more flares and puppies. The puppies are not yet big enough to deter bears, but the station is planning to draft a replacement adult guard dog as soon as possible. Some of the bears had taken to sleeping directly outside the windows of the outpost. Oh, man.
Can you imagine?
No, I'd be terrified. It's unbelievable. There's no risk of the researchers starving because they had a year's worth of food, but they were forced to take dangerous trips to the nearby building housing the facility's diesel generator, toting a gun for protection. Polar bears are an endangered species. In Russia, it's a crime to shoot them unless it's in self-defense. The bears usually leave the islands in the summer, but this time they were stranded by the melting ice, an apparent sign of climate change. They've stayed on the island because there was nowhere for them to go. So, true story. Man, that's terrifying. Could you imagine that?
You imagine saying, yes, whoever, honey, I'm not going to make it to that thing you had planned because polar bears have surrounded our compound.
Yeah, and they ate the dog.
And the poor dogs that are being trained to replace that dog.
I know, and then I just like, yeah, here are some puppies.
Do you think those dogs know?
That they're on a suicide mission?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the puppies are bait so that everyone can break for cover and run.
I don't know. But that's a crazy story. Dan, where'd you find this story?
That one's just off of NBC News.
Really? Okay.
Can't you just give them some Coca-Colas and then they'll walk away?
That's right. You give them a Coca-Cola and then they're all happy and they slide down hills and stuff.
And then you have a party with the polar bears.
Yeah, and then it's all Christmassy, right? Don't they have those ads are around Christmas when they release those ads,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that should be soon. Because, Walmart has all their Christmas stuff out already.
I know, it's disgusting.
Wait, what about Halloween?
I know. Listen, it's, if it were up to me, the Christmas stuff would come out December 12th.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I saw my neighbors out the other day, big, huge ladder on a two-story house, putting up lights, and I thought, well, maybe they're Halloween lights, because that's even early.
Yeah.
Nope.
They were Christmas
lights?
They're
Christmas lights. They're already putting them
up.
In
September.
Mm-hmm. I guess they're trying to get out there before the weather gets cold.
I guess. Wow, man. I don't know. I don't know. It makes me nuts. It's earlier every year. It really is crazy. It's crazy. We're a month away, over a month away from Halloween. And there's Christmas stuff out already. Have you guys seen the commercials for these new crazy laser light system things?
No.
Have you not seen this?
Uh-uh.
Esmeralda, have you not seen the
No, tell me more.
Dan, you've seen it, right?
I have, yes.
What are they called, like splash lights or crazy laser beam face? I can't remember, but it's like a little gun. It looks like a gun, and you plant it you put it in your yard, and then when you turn it on, it shines all these crazy laser lights all over your house. So instead of hanging individual lights, you get a couple of these little laser gun things, put them on your lawn, aim them at your house, turn them on, and then all these crazy lights pop up on your house. And you can get them to, like, change colors and move and stuff.
They used to have I'm sure they still make it, like a projector type of thing.
That's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that moved. It just put a image up there, didn't
right.
it?
Is this the star shower?
That's it, the star shower. I think there might be two of them competing. You know, we should have saved this for Wood Esmeralda to buy that.
This looks weird. It looks like your house has chicken pox.
Well, in the commercial for it, which they show constantly, you can put it inside your house too. Like you put it in your kid's room. Oh, turn your child's bedroom into space. You know, and then there's stars and light and lights all over the house. I was thinking about getting one because they have them at the checkout at Walgreens across the street from my apartment. They're like $29. I was thinking about getting one and just putting it on in my apartment and have people driving down Ashland going, "The hell is going on in there?"
Do they move?
Yeah, no, they do. You can program it to be still, or to, like, you press a button and, like, a play button, and the lights, like, move around like a little laser show.
I would get nauseous because it's all over.
Yeah, no, it is. It's nuts. If you've not, what's it called again?
The one I'm looking at is Star Shower.
Star Shower. Okay, and there's another one too, Laser Lips or something. I think it's called. But so anyway. All right. Well, so how'd we get on? Because polar bears drinking Coke equals Christmas. And that got us onto Walmart and Christmas and now the splash face.
I'm impressed that you could follow that trail back.
Yeah. No, I don't know what happens on this show 90% of the time. I swear to God. I don't know. Dan just sits in there and goes, "I don't know what this idiot's talking about now. I'm trying to keep the show running and being professional, and I have an idiot for a host." So, all right, we got a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about man versus nature movies. What are your favorite ones? This could make a great movie, don't you think? Meteorologists stuck in a compound with a bunch of polar bears?
Yeah, it's an action movie completely.
That's right. But you got to have you got to have Liam Neeson's in it.
Oh, yeah. Those bears wouldn't stand a chance.
Speaking of those, man, obviously, have you guys seen The Gray?
No.
Where Liam Neeson just beats the crap out of wolves?
Oh, wait a minute. Did I see
that? Oh, yes. That movie rules. Yes. That's one of the best man versus nature movies, which is what we're going to be talking about. 312-981-7200. Talk and text. It's Friday morning, everybody. Let's have a little fun. Hey, hi. Good morning, everyone on Earth. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. For those of you who were tuning in to hear Jake the Snake Roberts, he canceled on us. We're going to reschedule for next week, but we will get him on. He is appearing at Zany's October 3rd in the Old Town space, and then in Rosemont on October 4th for his Unspoken Word tour. So Jake the Snake will be on with us next week. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. We are talking, inspired by this actual true story about a bunch of Russian meteorologists who were trapped in a compound surrounded by polar bears. We're talking about the great man versus nature movies. 312-981-7200. And the not so great ones. Now, I would say that one of the granddaddies of them all is Jaws, which I think might be the best of the man versus nature movies, or at least the man versus beast movies, because Jaws rules. And now, everybody here has seen Jaws, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Esmeralda?
No.
What?
Oh, my God. Oh. What?
One, I'm not the big scary movie type.
Yeah, okay. So. I understand.
But, yeah, just...
Oh, it's so good.
It'll make you never want to swim in the ocean again.
You know what? I'm bringing the damn thing in.
They're never on TV. All
I'm bringing it in. I got it. I'm bringing it in. You can't not have seen Jaws legally. You can't.
Yeah, it's kind of a requirement.
God.
I would suggest not showing it to children that are too small, though.
Well, yeah.
My youngest son, he's going to kill me if he ever hears about this, but...
He's asleep.
When he was, I don't know, three or four or something, he couldn't ever go to the bathroom solo because he was afraid a shark was going to come out of the tank and get him.
Oh, that's terrible.
It was the worst thing ever. It was like 20, 30 minutes of waiting for him when he's doing his business.
Oh, man.
It's like, Jordan, just go. Oh. Shut up and go. Because you're having to sit there and wait. Because he thought,
there were people, when that movie came out, when Jaws came out, people wouldn't even go into Lake Michigan.
Nope.
Like, I'm not even going to Lake Michigan. No way. It's Lake Michigan. There's not going to be a shark in Lake Michigan. Nope. I'm not going. I'm not even going to sit on the beach because a shark might just walk out and kill me. You got to understand, when that movie came out, I mean, it was, Veronica, you remember when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
I was 10 when that movie came out, and then I became a shark freak, like, after that movie came out because I lost my mind. I thought it was so damn cool. And it's the best. It's just so good. Esmeralda, you got to see it. And it features one of the greatest movie monologues in history. Robert Shaw has a monologue about the USS Indianapolis that is unbelievable. One of the greatest monologues ever delivered in movie history. One of the greatest monologues ever written. And the behind-the-scenes story was he was completely blitzed during the shooting of it. Loaded, like completely loaded, to the point where when he finished, he passed out at the table. And that's the take that they use in the movie. Robert Shaw enjoyed liquor when he was alive. He enjoyed the liquor beverages when he was alive. But this is, it's amazing to me. You watch that movie, it's like, how did this guy, as annihilated as he was, how in God's name did he deliver this monologue the way he did? It's astounding.
The worst thing about that movie, though, was add a little drink about an hour ago. You cannot stop singing that song.
Well, that's like right after that monologue, I think.
Yes,
it takes
yes.
place. So that's when they're comparing scars,
and it's like the best part of the movie, except for that song sticks with you for decades.
Yeah. It's fantastic. All right. So we got to take a break here. When we come back, we got more Man versus Nature movies. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, I got a couple of lists here to remind us of some of them. And if you guys have any, Veronica, Esmeralda, Dan, please feel free to jump in after the news, which is coming up next. Yeah. Hi. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5 a.m. It's Friday, Fly Jams Friday. We'll be coming up later on. We got Straight Out of Context, Nick D's show, Spies, and You Big Dummy. All coming up right here on your Friday morning show. Right now, though, we're talking about Man versus Nature movies. Some of the best, some of the worst, some of the weirdest. Inspired by a true story. It's posted on our Facebook page if you'd like to read it, about these Russian meteorologists who were trapped in a compound surrounded by polar bears and had to be rescued. So we're talking about movies where man fights nature, whether it be, weather or nature or animals, all that stuff. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And we were just discussing the fact that Esmeralda has never seen Jaws, which is kind of jaw-dropping. Jaws dropping. Hey, hold it a minute now. Wait a minute. Hold it. I'm bringing in Jaws for you.
Okay.
All right. Now, I will say this. If you just want to get what we were talking about or before the break, the USS Indianapolis monologue is all over the internet. You can see, at least you can see the monologue. You can see Robert Shaw deliver one of the greatest monologues in the history of film. So you can at least watch that. It's just fantastic. I know a guy who knows every word of that monologue. Like, it's his favorite thing ever in the history of movies. And he knows every word and like every pause. He's memorized it. And I remember one time, it was fantastic. We were at Simon's. We were at the bar Simon's years ago. And Jaws was on TV, but they had the jukebox on. So, of course, the TV, the volume was down and the jukebox was on. And I was sitting next to him at the bar. And when an Indianapolis monologue came on, he did it verbatim, following Robert Shaw. It was like watching the movie being dubbed. He knew every inflection. It was surreal. I'm sitting next to this guy watching the volume down, Robert Shaw doing the Indianapolis, and I got the guy next to me doing it perfectly along with Robert Shaw. And we applauded afterwards. Like half the bar just went, that was fantastic. So anyway. Now, I will say this. After Jaws, there was a bunch of man versus nature movies that came out that sucked. Like Jaws spawned a whole bunch of ripoffs and movies that were inspired by, like, you know, there was one, by the way, Birdman sent in a text saying Day of the Animals. So Day of the Animals, let me explain what Day of the Day of the Animals came out in like 76, because Jaws came out in 75. So between end of 75 and around 80, there were 9,000 Jaws ripoffs and animal crazy movies. They were just low budget. They were like, I don't know, let's have ducks. These ducks are going to kill everybody. One of them, so Day of the Animals, let me explain Day of the Animals. Day of the Animals is when all animals go nuts and start killing people. Like birds and snakes, and you know, they all go nuts and start killing people, and in the movie, just for comedy's sake, Dan, have you ever seen Day of the Animals?
I have not.
Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Okay, this is the one reason why you should watch Day of the Animals. Leslie Nielsen is in it. Okay, this is way before Police Squad and all the airplane and all that stuff. Leslie Nielsen is in it, and at one point, he rips off his shirt and fights a grizzly bear. So, right there, that's worth watching at, say, 3 o'clock in the morning on cable. Leslie Nielsen, shirtless, fighting a grizzly bear? Fantastic! So, that's Day of the Animals. There were so many Jaws ripoffs. Orca. Anybody remember Orca?
Yeah.
The killer whale.
That was pretty stupid.
So stupid. And Richard Harris was in that. And it was about a whale whose mate was murdered by Richard Harris. Like he was whale hunting. And the orca of the whale's mate was pregnant, and they sliced open the whale. With the propellers of the boat, like ripped up the whale, tried to commit its suicide because it's just, I can't. Dan is looking like, what the hell are you talking? I'm not making this. It's a real movie.
I don't doubt it.
Real movie.
That's a hell of a stretch for the story.
they're harpooning the whale. The whale is like screaming, you know, and then trying to kill itself by running into the propellers of the boat. And then when they pull the whale up onto the boat, it had sliced its stomach open, and a baby whale fell out. And the orca husband watched this and went, "Oh, that's it. That was my kid."
Wait, how big are these whales that you can bring them onto boats?
He bought it on the boat, and then the baby whale fell out on the deck. And so then the orca got all mad and said, "That was my wife and kid you killed." And then he went after Richard Harris. Like, that was what the movie was about. Like, this. But here's another little piece of a little tidbit. It's Bo Derek's first movie. Bo Derek is in Orca the Killer Whale. She gets her leg bitten off by the whale.
Seems like I bought into this movie, you know, like I was fascinated with it at the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, like we were 10 when it came out. I was like 11 years old when the movie came out, and it was right on the heels of Jaws. So I'm like, oh, whales are even, they're bigger, so they've got to be scarier. So Orca. Ridiculous movie. Completely ridiculous movie. All right, let's talk to Tyrone on WGN. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, Nick. I haven't talked to you in quite a while.
All right, how you been?
Oh, well, I've been reasonably healthy. How about you?
Good, good. What do you got?
Well, before I recommend you my movie, you said your friend from the Gale Street Inn was a Mannix fanatic?
Well, he's not a Mannix fanatic, but there was a... Esmeralda and I were taking a quiz, and the question of what was the name of Mannix's secretary, and he knew that. So I exaggerate when I say that he's a Mannix fanatic, but he did answer that question that we didn't know.
Well, I was just wondering if he knew what kind of a car that was that Mannix drove in like the first two seasons, a big silver convertible.
Tyrone, if I didn't know the name of his secretary, how the hell am I going to know what kind of car he drove?
Well, I just thought that was the coolest looking car, and I thought maybe if he's listening, he might know that.
Yeah, so. Well, I don't know if George is listening. I don't know if he's a Mannix expert. I can't remember. I mean, I used to watch that show, but I was a kid when it was on, so I don't remember it. But
okay, now the movie that I got, I remember it came out on NBC Saturday Night at the Movies. Remember that?
Of course.
And it came out in 65, and it was about a group of British people that were flying on a private jet, and of course the jet went down in the Kalahari Desert. And this movie starred Stuart Whitman and Susanna York.
Okay.
And all throughout the movie, Stuart Whitman, he assumes the lead of the group of people. You know, he assumes the lead. He's got the rifle. And all throughout the movie, he's got this thing against these baboons that are there, you know, because he's competing against the baboons for food.
Okay.
And so he's got this thing against them, and he's shooting them left and right, you know, all throughout the movie. And finally, when a plane comes to rescue the whole group, Stuart Whitman, for some strange reason, decides to remain there. And guess what? He runs out of bullets for his rifle, and the baboons start to circle him and circle him and circle him. And he fights the leader baboon off and kills him. But then in the process, he winds up dying after that, and the rest of the baboons circle around him, and the camera is going farther and farther away, you know, at the end of the movie, down from the desert, and the rest of the baboons wind up eating him up.
Oh, wow. What's it called?
Sands of the Kalahari.
Sands of the Kalahari. All right, that one is good. That's on my wish list, just to see Stuart Whitman get ripped apart by baboons.
Yeah. That is an ending, Nick, that you're not going to forget.
That's great, man. All right, Tyrone, thank you, sir.
Okay,
Nick. Have a good morning. Take care. Sands of the Kalahari. Is that available, Dan? Let's call Tuckman up. We in? Wake him up. We got to find out if Stuart Whitman versus the baboons is available on the VHS. That's fantastic. So there was also
be yours for $13.95.
Oh yeah, $13.95, man. That's going to be the best $14 I've ever spent. So before Jaws came out, there was a movie called Frogs.
I think I remember that one.
Anthony in Louisville just texted in about that.
Oh, he did? Anthony in Louisville texted in about frogs. Now, frogs, by the way, are my favorite animals. I love frogs. One of the reasons why I love Magnolia so much is because it rains frogs at the end of the movie. But so there's a movie called Frogs, and it came out in 72. I was a kid. I remember we saw it at the drive-in. My parents and I saw it at the drive-in. And Ray Milland was in it. Sam Elliott, sans mustache, which is an interesting thing to see. If you've never seen Sam Elliott without a mustache, and I don't think many people have, watch Frogs. So in Frogs, and this was before Jaws, it's like 3-4 years before Jaws, in Frogs, the frogs... The frogs telepathically tell other animals and creatures to kill people. So, like, one guy gets killed by a bunch of spiders, and one has a bunch of snakes kill a guy. And the frogs are, like, outside, and they're, like, you know, they're ribbiting and stuff. And then the other animals listen to the frogs.
Is this the one where there are a bunch of people, like, on a... I don't know if it's
like an estate
island. Yeah, an estate.
Yeah, that's it.
Boat. Okay,
that's it.
The one I've been trying to remember. I got so freaked out as a kid about that, and I couldn't remember which movie it was.
Yeah, it's called Frogs, and I don't know. You know, you should go back and watch it. It's horrible. But when I was a kid, I was like, "Oh, this movie's cool," and I just remember it had a very weird sort of electronic score.
I remember that.
I wonder if Rich ever showed. Do you think Rich ever showed Frogs? I bet he did. Right? He's got to have.
Seem right up his alley.
Of course. I'm Rich, meaning Svengoolie. That would be I bet he's shown Frogs. We'll have to ask Rich. We're going to have him on soon because we're getting close to Halloween. We always love to have Svengoolie on. Yeah, so how much is that available for, Dan? Can I get a copy of the special Blu-ray edition of Frogs? I just love the fact that the frogs were in charge of all the creatures, you know, in the wild. To tell other animals what to do, it's frogs.
You're moving up in the world because that one's $21.96.
Good Lord, $21.96 to see Sam Elliott with no mustache.
You can rent it on Amazon Video between $3 and $10, apparently.
What? Why would you pay more than $3?
Maybe you get the director's cut.
Oh, no good with the extra footage.
Frog comes in the package.
Yeah. So you do remember, that's crazy that you remember frogs.
I was terrified by it. I remember very well sitting with my sister watching this, and we were both like yelling, "Ron, don't go there," you know, all those things.
And Ray Milland's in a wheelchair in it.
Yep.
And it's just a terrible movie. Now, Esmeralda, do you have any man versus nature movies that you could think of?
I do enjoy, is it Deep Blue Sea?
Oh, that movie rules.
With that very smart shark.
The Smart Sharks.
Yes.
LL Cool J as a chef.
Yeah.
That movie rules. You know, that movie, have you seen it, Veronica? Have you seen Deep Blue Sea?
I don't think so, no.
With the Smart Sharks. Dan, you've seen it, right? Yeah, Dan's seen it. You remember the scene with Samuel L. Jackson, right, Esmeralda?
That's the best part.
I saw that movie under such fantastic circumstances. I saw Deep Blue Sea, we were in New York with the Vinyl Shop, and we were at the Fringe Festival, and we were out there for 3 weeks running the Vinyl Shop as part of the Theater Fest. And so, you know, we did a bunch of stuff in New York. We were staying in Manhattan. And so one night after a really particularly great performance of Vinyl Shop, it was sold out. And we had a great house, and it was a really good performance. All of us went to Times Square and saw that movie in a packed house. Like, it was packed. At the middle of the summer, it was like 100 degrees outside. We go in, the place is packed, and it was a very vocal crowd. It was a Times Square crowd, very vocal crowd. And when that moment, when the shark jumps out of the water and eats Samuel Jackson while he's giving the big motivational speech... I was like, okay, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life.
I'm also a fan of Snakes on a Plane.
See?
That movie is awful.
It is awful, but it was
those
like...
snakes get those people, man.
Yeah. Well, we got a break, but I want to talk a little bit more about Snakes on a Plane. And we've got other man versus nature movies to talk about. I got a ton of texts coming in. People are calling in, too. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. Man versus nature movies. All right, we'll be back. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Hi, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Fly Jams Friday coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all of our regular features. Right now, though, inspired by this true story about a bunch of Russian meteorologists who were just rescued after being stuck in a compound surrounded by a bunch of polar bears, we're talking about man versus nature movies and some classics. We got some texts that are coming in. 708 area code says, can you throat punch a polar bear?
Well, yes.
That's why you need Liam Neeson's.
You have to be very adept at flying up at the polar bear's neck.
If anybody could do it, Liam Neeson's can.
Yeah. with his voice, he would soothe the polar bear.
Yeah.
Confuse it, and
that's
then
right.
He'd, right in the neck.
And the polar bear called him. He says, I don't know who you are. I don't know, but I will find you.
And the polar bear's like,
and I will kill you. I used to have that damn thing on as a clip here. I don't know what happened to it. Somebody stole my Liam Neeson's monologue.
I reference Liam Neeson and his specific set of skills all the time.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I'm saying Liam Neeson's because of Key and Peele. So don't, you know, it's like the people who get mad when I say the Jewels. It's called Jewel. I know that. It's a joke. 312 area code says, how about The Razor's Edge with Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin? That's actually called The Edge, not The Razor's Edge. Razor's Edge is the Tyrone Power / also Bill Murray movie. But The Edge, and that's a great movie. That is a great movie. That's Man versus Bear again. Have you seen that one, Esmeralda?
I have not.
Oh, it's so good. So scary. Veronica, have you ever seen The Edge?
No, I'm not huge on scary movies. I watch them every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I don't like, you know, like seek them out.
It's a terrific movie, though.
So The Edge is good, okay.
It's good.
Yeah. My type of outdoor movie that's, you know, it's like Castaway or something.
Castaway is on these lists. Castaway is a great man versus nature movie.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
And not real scary, except for the tooth part.
Oh, yeah, that's brutal. That's brutal. Now, Dan, have you seen The Edge?
I have not seen The Edge.
Good, man. Real good.
By the way, I've got the Liam Neeson speech.
Oh, you do? Let's hear the Liam Neesons.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want.
That's a polar bear on the other end of the phone.
If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
That's right, polar bear. You better hide, baby. God, I remember when Taken came out. Oh, my God, did I lose my mind. Oh, man. Like, that movie came out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. It was supposed. You guys know that movie was supposed to go straight to video? Taken was supposed to go straight to video. And they were like, yeah, whatever. The studio wasn't behind it at all. They were like, whatever. Nobody's going to watch Liam Neeson run around punching people in the face. Just throw it on the video and we'll make a little money on it. And I can't remember whose decision it was. That somebody at the studio said, you know, we should give this a theatrical run, see what happens. So somebody made the decision to release it theatrically. And whoever made that decision probably runs the studio now. So, because that thing made $1 billion.
I'm surprised to find out how many really young people love him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hold on. We got a traffic update from Esmeralda. Esmeralda, what's going on?
Right now, northbound on the Bishop Ford at the Steel Bridge, we have an overturned vehicle blocking all lanes. We are seeing delays starting at about Dalton Road right now.
Okay. And we'll have a full report after the break, after
Absolutely.
The news. Okay. Thank you, Esmeralda. Liam Neeson, after Taken, his audience expanded massively. Like, he was like, you know, critically acclaimed, you know, sort of tough guy, Irish actor, best known for playing Schindler in Schindler's List, sort of, you know, that kind of actor. After Taken, it was all, and his career completely changed. Because he made like 7 movies in a row that were all just basically him running around punching people in the face. But Taken, I remember being so surprised by that movie. I went to the theater to see it. Like 45 minutes in, I'm like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. Liam Neeson's is the biggest badass on the planet.
They really should have done the other ones straight to video.
Yo, the other one sucked.
Both Taken 15.
Oh, the other two just sucked. And in fact, a lot of the movies that he made, the one where he's on the plane throat punching people for 45 minutes, that nonstop, that was pretty bad. I liked Run All Night. Was it called? I think it was called Run All Night with him and Ed Harris. That's a really good one. But yeah, he was making some knockoffs where it was just like, but the one where he throat punches wolves is awesome. As we're talking about the Man versus Nature movies, if you guys have not seen The Gray, you should see it. It is a brutal movie in terms of like Man versus Nature. And I'm looking at these lists that we have. Clearly, these lists were made before The Revenant came out. Clearly, because The Revenant's not on either of these lists. What? That's like the ultimate Man versus Nature movie. Have you guys seen The Revenant? Esmeralda?
I haven't yet.
Veronica?
I've not seen it, no.
Oh, God, it's so good. Have you, Dan, you've seen it?
I have not.
Wait, your boyfriend's in it.
I know.
Oh, man.
He's trying to be aloof.
How do you... I'm just going to make sure that Tom Hardy doesn't know I'm obsessed with him, so...
I kind of am, too, though, so I definitely need to.
Who isn't?
Yeah.
He's something.
Well, he's not very dreamy in The Revenant, I can tell you that.
Well, there's another movie of his that I put on Netflix that I just haven't watched because I think it's called, not The Fighter...
Warrior?
Bronson.
Oh, Bronson's Bronson's great.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
That's great. But yeah, he's a bit rough looking.
Yeah, give yourself some time after that one.
All right, we got a break. We got the news coming up and then more Man versus Nature movies. It's Friday and all the regular Friday features coming up as well. Yeah. Hi, good morning, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 on your Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday. Coming up, DJ Shagru will take your requests at 312-981-7200. Straight Out of Context, Nick D. Show Spies, and You Big Dummy, all coming up for your regular Friday features. Right now, though, we are talking about the best, the worst, the weirdest man versus nature movies of all time. And we got more texts coming in here. Tony texts this in. This is fantastic, by the way. Dan, this is pretty great. Jaws is on Telemundo all the time. I don't even speak Spanish, and I still watch it. That's how good Jaws is. 262 area code, Mansquito is the Citizen Kane of man versus nature movies. Have you guys ever seen Mansquito?
Can't say that I have.
It's about a guy who turns into a giant mosquito.
Oh, geez.
Is it a knockoff of The Fly?
No, it's one of those sci-fi movies, you know, from the people who produce like the Sharknado movies and stuff like that. So it's that kind of thing. 312 area code, Grizzly is a terrible man versus nature movie. And, like, not even in a hilariously terrible way. Grizzly also came out, like, I think the same year as Day of the Animals. It was one of those nature movies that came out, like, right after Jaws. And it was, you know, it was called Grizzly. It was about a crazy grizzly bear eating everybody. My favorite story about that involves my friend Scott Oaken, who busted three chairs at a, God bless you, Esmeralda, who busted three chairs at a Bryan Adams Hooters show because he was jamming so hard. When he was a kid, he was in the Cub Scouts or the Boy Scouts or whatever, one of the Scouts, I don't know. And they were at like a summer camp or maybe he was just at a summer camp. I think he was just at a summer camp. Maybe it wasn't a scout thing, but he was at a summer camp in the middle of the forest. Okay. And he's like 10, 11 years old. And so they decide, the camp counselors decide that they're going to show the kids outside. They have a little screen outside. They're going to show a movie. They're going to show the kids Grizzly. So there's a bunch of kids in the middle of the forest away from their parents for the summer, and they show him Grizzly. And Scott said he was mortified. Like, he couldn't even, walking back to his cabin, he had never been more terrified in his entire life than after watching Grizzly. And you know the camp counselors were in the back blowing weed going, you know that's what was happening. They did it on purpose. Let's torture these kids. We'll blow a bunch of weed and watch Grizzly. And then we'll all stand in the forest and make noises while they walk back to their cabins. Jeff in Footville says, hey, Nick, Google Mississippi River shark attacks in Illinois. Yikes. Okay, way to terrify everybody, Jeff.
Have you seen those videos of carp flying around and they hit people in the
head?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watch Ridiculousness. They have those on that show. They have that on at least one flying carp video per show on Ridiculousness. Which is a show that, I love that show. Esmeralda, do you watch Ridiculousness?
I do not.
Do you know what it is?
I think so.
It's the dude, why am I blanking on his name?
I forget.
Rob
who he is.
Dyrdek.
Yes.
Okay, Rob Dyrdek from Nitro Circus and Big and Rob. He's the host. Sterling Brown is the Stilo Brown is the video guy, and the Chanel West Coast, the blonde sort of rapper girl, she's like the hype girl. She just laughs, and all they do is show crazy, stupid videos of people falling down and bumping into stuff, and it's hysterical. It's hysterical, and I watch it all the time. And the great thing about it is, it's on twice a week. It's on new episodes, and if you put on MTV or MTV2, you could see 55 episodes in a row. And episodes I've seen before, I just watch them over and over again because it's just viral videos of people getting knocked over, and it's hysterical. Let's see. 815 area code says, I believe all the Jaws movies are on Netflix. Well, you only need the one. You don't need the other three. 312 area code, Alligator. Oh, Alligator rules. Have you guys ever seen Alligator?
Maybe.
It rules. Here's the plot. Here's the plot of Alligator. 1980 it came out. Robert Forrester's in it. John Sayles wrote it. Louise Teague directed it. I can't believe I know all... I know all the details of the movie Alligator. I was in high school when it came out. I saw it like 50 times in the theater. Here's the plot. Kid flushes a baby alligator down the toilet. His parents are like, no, you can't have the alligator. Flushes the baby alligator down the toilet. Lives in the sewer under New York. Becomes like 80 feet long and kills everybody. like busts up out of the sewer and starts killing people. It rules.
Why does it grow so big?
I don't know. I guess the sewage.
So it's very healthy.
It's a big giant alligator. It becomes a big giant alligator that busts through the bottom of the, like, through the pavement and starts killing
people.
See,
that makes me think we should throw more animals into the sewers to eat sewage.
Yeah,
because it's very healthy for them.
Yeah, because they get
big
nice
and strong.
They get nice and big. Yeah, alligator. That movie, if you've not seen it, it rules. Oh, man. 312 area code also says Kingdom of the Spiders. Now, you can't go wrong with Kingdom of the Spiders. You know why? Shatner.
No? No spiders.
Oh, that's right. You're not a fan.
No spiders, please.
Yeah, and the thing about Kingdom of the Spiders is sometimes when you think Kingdom of the Spiders, you think like those movies in the 50s and 60s where they're giant spiders. You know, like the movie The Tarantula from the 50s, where it's like the size of a boat, like a giant, giant tarantula killing people. It's not. Kingdom of the Spiders is regular spiders. It's just a lot of them.
No.
That's kind of creepy, though.
Yeah.
You can almost deal with a giant one.
Yeah, the giant one is hilarious. Like, when you watch Tarantula, it's hysterical. There's, like, you know, there's a giant spider walking across the road, knocking down, you know, electrical poles and stuff.
Although those spiders in The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they were cool.
They were pretty scary.
Yeah, they were very scary. They were cool as hell. But no, the Kingdom of the Spiders is just a bunch of regular spiders that invade people. And, yeah, but Shatner gets all attacked. I remember Shatner gets attacked and is, like, bitten by about 900 spiders. But he lives because he's Shatner. You can't kill Shatner. Esmeralda, I'm assuming you've never seen the movie The Believers?
No.
The movie The Believers is about this cult that casts these, you know, spells on people. Martin Sheen is in it. Helen Shaver is in it. It's called The Believers. There's a scene in that movie that would I think probably kill you, Esmeralda.
Oh, great. Let's watch it.
It may actually kill you. There's a scene in the movie where she's got like what looks like a big pimple on her face.
No.
And out of it comes a bunch of spiders.
And I'm out.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah. I mean, even that scene, even me, I was like, oh, what the... And then finally, Night of the Lepus. Okay, now here's where they went. You guys know Night of the Lepus?
Yes.
Oh, you know Night of the Lepus?
That one I know, yeah.
Dan, do you know Night of the Lepus?
I know Night of the Lepus because of its appearance in another film.
Natural Born Killers?
Isn't that what they're watching, the kids watching in The Matrix?
No, it's also in The Matrix, you're right. But it's in Natural Born Killers, too. Yeah, that's right, he's watching Night of the Lepus. Because he's a genius. That's a room full of geniuses. And the room full of geniuses when they're waiting for the Oracle while they watch Night of the Lepus. Anyway, Night of the Lepus, for those of you who don't... Veronica, do you know Night of the Lepus?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. You got to see it.
All right.
It's about giant rabbits that kill people.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
Like giant rabbits, not big. I'm talking, you know, rabbits the size of a semi-truck.
With very sharp teeth, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's fantastic.
Now, I don't know how people die. I mean, if you get trampled by them, their soft, fluffy paws would just go over you.
I think because of their size, they would crush you. Because I think they crush cars and stuff in it, if I remember correctly. Oh, man. All right. Dominic says, would Planet of the Apes count? I guess, yeah.
What about the movie, The Road?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a nature, man versus nature movie, sure.
I didn't realize this, but a lot of schools have kids watch that.
Yeah. Do they have them watch the movie and not read the book?
I don't remember my son reading it. He did tell me he watched the movie.
Oh, okay.
But then again, he could have been assigned it and just didn't.
And because he could have been assigned the book, but he watched the movie.
Could be. I think they actually watch the movie in school.
That's
though.
Interesting that they would watch. How old is your son? 16?
Yeah, he's 16.
Okay, that's fine for a 16-year-old. Who am I to talk? I saw The Exorcist when I was 8. What the hell? I've got no right to say anything to anybody. Let's see. 708 area code says The Birds rules. Yeah, The Birds is a great movie. Great movie, Hitchcock. Well, I know a lot of people who hate the ending of that movie. I love the ending of that movie. I love it. People are like, what the hell? Oh, here's one. 779 779 area code Anaconda with John Voight, Ice Cube, and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yuck.
That movie's ridiculous. Kathy says, if I ever get back to sleep, the nightmares will be something else. Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy. Here I am describing that scene from The Believers. I forget it's like 3:17 in the morning. There are people who can't sleep, and I'm like, hey, she had a pimple and a bunch of spiders came out of it. All right, here's some more. The River Wild. We just talked about The River Wild the other night, directed by Curtis Hanson, who passed away just a few nights ago.
That's a good movie.
That's a terrific movie, yeah. The Perfect Storm? I hated that movie.
Yeah, it was kind of dull.
Oh, I hated it. That was Mark Wahlberg and George Clooney. John C. Reilly's in that movie too, right? And Diane Lane? Isn't Diane Lane in that?
I don't remember.
It's a really great cast. I just thought it sucked.
If she would get, killed off, I'd probably like it.
Do you not like Diane Lane?
I don't, and I don't know why. I just can't stand her.
Oh, my God.
Seems like it all goes back to an interview I read when she was dating Jon Bon Jovi back in the 80s, and I thought, what a jerk. I've never
forgiven
her.
She dated Bon Jovi?
Yes. And wow. I remember specifically she was talking about how unhealthy, rock guys eat. That's all fast food because they're on the road all the time. But I don't remember why I couldn't stand her after that interview.
Wow, that's weird.
And then wasn't she married to, what's his name?
Christopher Lambert, yeah.
And she said really bad things about him, too, in an interview. I mean, really bad
you
things.
You can't talk about the Highlander
No. And I just disliked her after that.
I love Diane Lane.
I know. I remember that you're a big fan.
Huge fan. Well, we're the same age. Diane Lane and I are both the same age. And so, you see The Outsiders or you see Rumblefish, at a certain age, it's all over. So that's it. Especially Rumblefish. Good God.
Until she bagged on Christopher Lambert.
Yeah. Oh, and Streets of Fire? Ooh. Ooh, her in Streets of Fire? Oh. And when she had that comeback in Unfaithful with Gear and the sexy French dude? Whoever the hell, whatever happened to that guy?
Sexy
French dude. That guy was supposed to be like the big thing.
I don't even remember his name.
I don't see sexy French dude as far as I can tell. And that's a great movie, though. She's great in that movie. Boy, that was a good movie. Gear smashing sexy French dude in the head with a snow globe. That movie rules. I just ruined it for everybody. It's 16 years old. So, all right, we got a break. Man versus Nature and Man versus Gear. No. Movies. All right, we got a break. WGN here. Hey. Hi. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday. Get your fly jam requests in. DJ Shagru will make an appearance, and he will help you with your requests. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That's also the phone to call or text your thoughts on great, bad, or awesome, or ridiculous man versus nature movies. 312-981-7200. Okay, here's some more on the list here. We've got 127 Hours. Man, that was a great movie.
Was that the when he was
James
stuck?
Franco
yeah,
stuck
was
in the
stuck in the crevice?
Oh, man, that was brutal. That was a great movie. Danny Boyle directed that. Good performance by James Franco. Have you seen the trailer for the new James Franco Bryan Cranston comedy?
No.
It's called Why Him? And Bryan Cranston plays the father of an only daughter, and James Franco plays her new boyfriend, and he's a completely obnoxious moron. He's all tatted up and stuff. I got to say, I laughed at the trailer. It looks terrible, but I actually laughed at the trailer. Megan Mullally is in it. She plays he plays the girl's mother, Cranston's wife, and she's great. I love Megan Mullally. Maybe Offerman will make a cameo in it. He seems to show up in everything that she does. Yeah, 127 Hours, a great one. Another one on here, Deliverance is on here. Yeah, that's Man versus Nature. Yeah, Man versus Nature and Hillbilly. Oh, man, that movie. That's a brutal movie. We've got Grizzly Man. Oh, that's a good movie. You ever see Grizzly Man, Veronica?
No, I don't think so.
Documentary about a guy, Werner Herzog directed it. It's about a guy who lived out in the true story, actual documentary about a guy who lived in the woods and stuff with bears, who was eventually mauled by a bear.
Oh, you know what? I remember that now.
It's a fascinating movie. Fascinating movie. Really good. Jeremiah Johnson is on this list.
Really?
Oh, look at this. Here's Bill on WGN. Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. So Jeremiah Johnson saw it, I think it was 73 or 74.
Yep.
When it came out. Oh, I was, I'm a nature freak anyway. Grew up in deep southern Illinois, hills, Shawnee Forest, and that was right up my alley.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Now you lived so you were an outdoorsy guy. What other ones do you like, Bill? What other ones do you think are good in that?
Believe it or not, I've not seen The Revenant, but I'm looking so forward. My wife just isn't into The Gore, you know, The Edge you talked about earlier.
Yeah,
that was tremendous. Yeah,
yeah. Jeremiah Johnson's a tremendous movie. Tremendous.
Yes.
It is.
At its time, it did. Who was the The Man Called Horse was another one where he reverted to the Indian way of life.
Right.
And it was just sort of melodramatic, you know. But Jeremiah Johnson took it to more of a successful dramatic portrayal of that sort of a thing. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, Bill, thank you for the call, buddy.
You bet.
Take care. Yeah, Jeremiah Johnson.
Cool. I still get sad every time I see that movie.
Why?
Well, the whole wife and, you know, child thing.
Yeah. For those of you who have not seen it, it's Robert Redford. And, you know, I remember people making a big deal out of it because he wasn't pretty in it.
Oh, he's still pretty. And I don't even like blondes.
Speaking of Robert Redford, nobody saw Pete's Dragon. He's fantastic in that. I'm not talking about the piece of crap from the 70s. I'm talking about the one that came out a couple of months ago. He's great in that. All right, we got some texts here. Bull. His name is Bull. Texted in, Food of the Gods. Oh, Food of the Gods rules. Anybody ever see Food of the Gods?
Nope.
Oh, man, it's fantastic. Marjo Gortner's in it, and it's about a bunch of giant animals. There's like a, I can't remember if it's like a nuclear plant or something, you know, it's sewage or it's leakage goes into the water, and the animals drink out of the creek, and then they get giant and start killing everybody.
Could happen.
It's mostly giant rats, like real giant rats climbing on houses and stuff, and it's just Marjo Gortner with a rifle shooting giant rats. There's also, the best, though, are the giant chickens. There's a part in the movie where a guy goes into a chicken coop, and there are chickens in there about 7 feet tall.
Chickens are mean when they're small.
I know. Can you imagine a 7 foot tall chicken? That movie rules. Food of the Gods, another piece of crap from the 70s. Right around that time period. Man, oh, man, the 70s were the best. Even the crap movies were awesome. All right, we got to take a break. A few more of these after the break, and then we got our regular features leading up to Fly Jams Friday. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN.
Yeah.
Hi. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Coming up in just a few minutes, we got You Big Dummy, where we read all the week's news stories concerning people being really dumb, and we vote on the dummy. And that's coming up. And straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies. And then it's Fly Jams Friday. Get your Fly Jams ready to go at 312-981-7200. Wrapping up our conversation about man versus nature movies. And again, the true news story about a bunch of Russian meteorologists who were trapped in a compound surrounded by polar bears until they were rescued. Real news story. It's on our Facebook page if you want to read all about it. It's facebook.com/Nick D Show. It inspired us to talk about man versus nature movies. Here's Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Squirm.
Squirm.
I only saw it once. The premise of the movie is power line hit the ground and it kind of electrified these worms that made them go berserk.
Yep.
When they start eating people.
Yep. Killer worm movie. Killer worms.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And my wife told me a story. Her and her first husband were getting ready to watch that movie. And they decide they're going to eat spaghetti that night, and they turn them they turned the movie on, and it's like that killed their appetite.
Yeah, no, that's not a, it's yeah, long stringy pasta is not the right thing to eat when you're watching Squirm.
No. Good movie though.
Yeah.
Good
All right, Glenn. Though. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Another one of those crappy 70s movies, Squirm. That's exactly what happens. It's like a power line goes down and it electrifies the ground during a rainstorm, and all the worms go nuts.
Oh,
and they start burrowing under people's skin and stuff.
Oh, gross. Yeah, I wouldn't want to eat and watch that.
I saw it like 12 times in the theater when it came out. It was just crazy killer worms. They didn't care about it. Just didn't matter. In the 70s, after Jaws, or you know, around that time period, it was like, yeah, let's make a movie about a bunch of worms going nuts.
How about The Blob?
The Blob.
Could that be? Well, I guess because it was in city mostly. It wouldn't be versus nature.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like a creature, though. That's more like an alien
thing,
as opposed to like the creature.
That scared the crud out of me as a kid, too.
You know, that's funny. That's my ex-wife Heather was terrified of The Blob. Terrified of it. And Steve McQueen's first movie, by the way. First movie Steve McQueen ever started. All right, let's give you a few more here. 815 area code. Lake Placid was a terrible movie, and it's on all the time. You know who wrote Lake Placid? Lake Placid about a giant alligator killing people. Betty White's in it, and she's got a filthy mouth in it. But you know who wrote it? David E. Kelly. What the hell did he do? besides Break My Heart and Mary Michelle Pfeiffer. Ally McBeal. Didn't he do more than that, though?
Oh,
L.A.
Yeah.
Law?
Well, yeah.
Did he do a law show?
He did Picket Fences.
Picket Fences, and he did a ton of stuff.
Yeah, Boston Legal.
Right. There you go. Oh, yeah, that's what got me. Boston Legal. What was before, what was it? Practice. Private Practice. Yeah.
I think just The Practice.
Oh, Private Practice was the other one.
Right.
That was the one that Michael Thornton was on. Okay. Bull sharks have been found in the Ohio River as far north as Indiana. Oh, okay. Paul says, how about That's right. Did you guys ever see
That's what it's called?
Yeah, it's eight S's.
And I'm guessing it's snakes.
It's about a guy who, a scientist played by Strother Martin, by the way, Chong's dad from Up in Smoke. Strother Martin. Plays a scientist who turns his college intern into a cobra. By the way, Sven Gulli showed that one. He showed that one a couple of months ago. Ridiculous movie. Turns into, and it's got the, if you ever watch, make sure you watch the ending. It's one of the most ridiculous endings in the history of movies. It just ends, like, out of nowhere. It's a freeze frame on this girl's face. She goes, ah! And that's it. It's the end of the movie. And I remember when Sven Gulli showed it, like, when it was over, they cut back to Rich, and he's like, so, wait, that's it? That's the end of the movie? Let's see. 773 area code, The Happening. Oh, God. M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong with Mark Wahlberg and the plants get mad.
I think that's the only one of his movies I haven't seen.
Horrible.
Was it? Okay.
Horrible. Well, I don't like any of his movies. I can't stand M. Night Shyamalan.
Really?
Oh.
Not even The Village?
No.
Oh. Really?
No.
What? Come on. That one's
I
horrific.
Love that movie. Yeah.
The Village?
Yeah.
Blah.
It's terrible. The big twist is it's modern times.
It was good. I bought into the whole thing.
I was so mad.
Oh,
I saw it in the
that
theater.
Movie. I hate all his movies. He's got a new one coming out, but it's got James McAvoy in it, damn it. So I got to see it. It's called Split. He plays a loon with like 12 different personalities. And I love James McAvoy. He's one of my favorite actors on the planet. So now I got to see it. But The Happening is horrendous. Oh, my God. Trees and plants get all mad. And then people start, the trees make people kill themselves.
You know, I'm okay with that concept.
It's a terrible, it's such a terrible movie. It's such a terrible movie. All right, a couple more and then we're going to move on to our big dummies. Let's see. 847 Twister. Oh, you know, I love Twister. I love that movie. I don't care how stupid it is. I really don't. I love that movie. I watch it every time it's on cable. You know who rules in that movie? Philip Seymour Hoffman rules in that movie. Well, he rules in everything, but he's great in that. And of course, the trivia question that I always ask for people. Now, have you guys seen Twister?
Yep.
Esmeralda?
I liked it.
A million years ago.
Okay. Dan, you know the question I'm going to ask, right?
I do, yes.
I always ask it. Do you guys remember what movie is playing at the drive-in before the Twister comes and rips the drive-in apart?
No. I'm sure I at the time I remember, but it's been a long time, yeah.
No?
No.
The Shining.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Okay.
815 area code. Congo is horribly awesome. There's you remove the word horribly from that sentence. Congo rules. That movie rules. The problem is, I don't think Frank Marshall directed that movie. John Patrick Shanley wrote it. The problem is, I don't think anybody involved, I don't think the director knew it was supposed to be a comedy. Because it's hilarious. If you get the chance, watch Congo. I put that movie on my top 10 list the year it came out. People thought I was certifiable. That movie rules.
It's about an angry gorilla.
But a bunch of gorillas. No, the gorilla's the good guy. Good girl, I should say. And they teach the gorilla to speak through sign language, and the gorilla enjoys martinis. And there's a bunch of apes, a bunch of crazy apes killing people. Bruce Campbell's in the first scene. How do you not love a movie with Bruce Campbell getting killed in the first 5 minutes? Congo rules the planet. All right? When Congo came out, by the way, we were doing a play called Alive when Congo came out. And it bombed at the box office. It completely bombed. It got ripped apart by critics. It is considered a terrible movie, a turkey and a bomb. I, however, love it, and I think it's great. But the Burger King drew the short straw and had the tie-in with Congo. You know, sometimes the fast food places are like, oh, God, we got the Wild Wild West. You know, like, you know, who ended up getting the Will Smith Wild Wild West movie? I think that was also Burger King. But anyway, the fast food tie-in, Congo. It was Burger King, and you go to Burger King, and you could get a Congo watch. They had a different Congo watch every, like, 2 weeks or something. I had every Congo watch, every one of them. I went to Burger King, got all the Congo watches. They were little terrible digital watches. I had all of them. And it got to the point when we were doing, because Alive was, like, there were six of us in it. It was six guys just in an apartment drinking beer. That was basically what the whole play was. And at one point, I had gotten so many Congo watches, we all wore Congo watches during the show. Like all the characters, we all had Congo watches. It was so stupid. All right. By the way, Congo rules. How much is that on Blu-ray, Dan? For the extra, I want the extra long 4-hour director's cut.
The Criterion Collection.
That's right. Criterion should release a version of Congo. 10 discs. I adore that movie. Man, did people yelled at me because I recommended everybody see it. My friends and I did end up seeing a bunch of us went to go see it, but we ended up going to see it like we saw it like 7 times at Bruin View. We would just go, we went back like every other night and just watch it at Bruin View.
$9.19 for Blu-ray.
Oh, $9.99 Blu-ray? Oh, Congo. Oh, Congo rules. Laura Linney. Put him on the endangered species list.